Like to thank you for taking some time to seek the Lord Jesus with us as we study the Gospel of Mark, studying to understand this gift that God gave us through Jesus Christ. I wrote this message for March 12th of 2023, titled it Obedience and Disobedience. Took the scripture text from Mark 1:40 to 45. So my outline, obedience and disobedience, point one, what matters most, the inside or the outside of a person? Point two, can one be obedient and disobedient to the same degree? So my first point, what matters most, inside or outside of a person? Second point, can one be obedient and disobedient to the same degree? My introduction goes like this. In our chronological pattern of reading through the Bible together, we look into all God's helpful hints when living with others. The word from God was that anyone with a skin disease, like leprosy, would make them unclean. This meant that lepers or others with visible skin diseases were unfit to participate in any religious or social activity. When we investigated these guidelines for the community health in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, God instructed his people on how to deal with skin problems within their community. So, my text, Mark 1:40 to 45, I chose the New International Reader's Version of the Bible. And it goes like this. A man who had a skin disease came to Jesus. On his knees, he begged Jesus. He said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean. You can do it." Jesus was filled with a deep concern. He reached out his hand, touched the man. "I am willing to do it," he said. "Be clean." Right away, the disease left him. He was healed. Jesus sent him away at once. He gave a man strong warning. "Don't tell this to anyone," he said. "Go and show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded. It will be a witness to the priest and the people that you are clean." But the man went out and started talking right away. He spread the news to everyone, so Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. He stayed outside in lonely spaces, but people still came to him wherever he was. The end. The law said that if one made physical contact with a skin disease infected person, this would make them unclean also. So you get in contact with somebody that's unclean, makes you unclean too. There's a pattern or a problem with human flesh, which many Bible translate as our sin nature. This sin pattern is people often tends to take things too far. So our sin nature, our flesh, tends to take things too far. God's simple command to separate from them developed over the years into the evil practice of throwing rocks at lepers to keep them at a safe distance. So rather than just being separate from them, it became popular to throw rocks at them to keep them safely away. So rather than just keeping our distance, it became a fear of becoming infected. Can you understand this fear? Do you understand what that's like? So when Jesus responded to this reject of their society with going and touching him, this was astonishing. Everything in the law, everything in society says if there's a leper, you stay away from him. Jesus, on the other hand, walked up, put his hands on him, and touched him. Mark records for us the practical application of mercy and grace that flowed from Jesus Christ to everyone. Can you see this? Jesus Christ gave this man mercy and grace. Make note, this attitude illustrated in Jesus Christ is still the same today. There is no one God will not reach out and touch. Jesus was willing to reach out and touch a leper, the most rejected of all the society. There's no one that he won't reach out and touch. My outline, obedience and disobedience. Point one, what matters most, the inside or the outside of a person? How would you honestly answer that question? What do you think? Honestly, what matters the most, inside, outside? A on your outline, a leper came to Jesus begging on his knees. A leper came begging on his knees. If you want to, you can make me clean, he said. How does that word picture that Mark painted for us look in your eyes? If you want to, you can make me clean. Can you agree with this thought, this idea? In the culture we live in, how one looks is considered extremely valuable. It's the outside. In our culture, there's a great deal of value on how you look outside. What you wear, your hair, your complexion. There's a lot of value on the outside of a person. Does how you see this value of our society, our culture, have a practical impact on your life? Yes? No? Does this society value of the outside have an impact on you? Is how you look important to you? Can you agree that people invest a considerable amount of time and money in looking good, the outside? Can you agree with that? Just for fun, just for an illustration, I thought about the Oscars are coming up here in a couple days. And I, you know, thought about the outfits, the dresses, the tuxedos, the jewelry, the glamour that goes on. And I was surprised that there's no more red carpet. It's a champagne-colored carpet now. Anyway, I was curious, what do you suppose people spend on the Oscars? You got a guess? When I Googled it, the number was astounding. $44 million will be spent on the Oscars. $44 million on the Oscars. And that's all just the outside, looking good, putting on a show. That's a staggering amount of money. But that's what Google says they'll spend on the Oscars this year. Man. If we agree that this is important in our society, our culture, or even in our life, then what value does God place on these things, these efforts, the outside? If it's important to our culture, and that translates down that probably it's important to you and I, well, what's God place on these outside efforts? I thought of the passage in Isaiah, chapter 53, and I pulled down verses 2-4, and I used the Message translation. And Isaiah's description of the Messiah goes like this. The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought of him as scum. But in fact, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, and all the things that we had done wrong. That's the end. So when I thought about that description of Jesus Christ, that he carried our disfigurements, our pain, the truth is, or the fact is, that from God's perspective, the real value of a person is inside, not outside. The world, the flesh, and the devil has this upside down. So, my idea, my thought, what I'm saying is, the world, the flesh, and the devil has this inside, outside thing upside down. The world, the flesh, and the devil say how you look, what's on the outside is important. God doesn't really care that much about the outside. He's more intent on the inside, one's heart, one's soul. If a person's body is diseased or deformed, that person inside is still of no less value to God. It's the heart, the soul, the spirit that gives one value from God's perspective. So you could be disfigured, paralyzed. You could be born with very special needs. But on the inside, you have the same value. And that's the way God looks at people. In a sense, all people with the same have this, in a sense, we all people have some form of leprosy because we've all been deformed by the ugliness of sin. So when you're looking at it from the inside, all of us have some sort of a disease and a disfigurement because of sin being inside us. Jesus was touched by He's given us an opportunity to be healed from this ugliness of sin. Can you see that this is valuable to you and I? Jesus offers you an opportunity to be healed from the inside out. Beyond the outline, Jesus filled with deep compassion. Jesus was filled with deep compassion, and your blank is filled. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing to do it," he said. "Be clean." In your mind, when you read Jesus was filled with concern, what image do you get in your mind? I have a water illustration I'm going to do at church tomorrow where I've got a glass, clear glass, and a pitcher of water. I'm going to pour some water into the glass and say, "Well, you consider that to be full? Pull a little bit more in. How about that? Is that full?" You know, most people, when it gets up within a half inch to the top, they say, "Oh, that's full." But I'm going to pour water until the glass is overflowing. The water will be flowing over the glass and into a catch basin that I'll have. And practically, I'm going to dump the whole pitcher of water into the glass. My point is, when Jesus was filled with concern, it wasn't like halfway up the glass. It wasn't an inch from the top. It was overabundantly filled with concern for this man. Note, Mark's gospel is the only one that records Jesus' emotional reaction to the leper's desperate situation. And I wonder, Isaiah 53 had much the same illustration of what the Messiah was like. Maybe the Messiah could relate to this guy being an outcast. Maybe. Mark's the only one who writes down about Jesus' emotional concern. None of the other gospels do. The fact that Jesus reached out and touched the man was radically unlike the rabbis
who avoided lepers because they could become ceremonially unclean. Jesus expressed his compassion with a physical touch. The TV drama The Chosen shows this event with Jesus hugging and holding this man, then asking for a clean cloak to cover up the man's filthy rags. It's a really nice touch. So I pulled down a couple pictures from The Chosen, and Jesus is touching the leper, and they're praying, and then they're hugging, and then at last the leper's got this great big grin on his face, and one of the disciples gives him a clean cloak to put over the one he has, and he goes off. See on your outline. Right away he was healed. Right away he was healed. And you're too blank right away. Then there was leprosy was gone. Right then and there, his leprosy was gone. His skin was smooth and healthy, like a newborn baby's backside. Leprosy was incurable, and many different types of skin diseases were classified together as a whole under the heading of leprosy. In the Old Testament law about leprosy, we studied back in Leviticus 13 and 14, was a leper was cured, he or she would go to the priest to be examined. After the examination of the person was considered clean, then he was to give a thank offering in the temple. Well, Jesus adhered to all these laws perfectly. Jesus agreed with the laws of Moses. So when he sent this guy off to the priest and then to offer the thank offering, that was in complete harmony with the law. So he sent this man to the priest, demonstrating Jesus's complete respect for God's law. Jesus followed the law perfectly. By Jesus sending a healed leper to the priest, this was also a way to verify Jesus' great miracles that he was performing in the community. So our outline, obedience and disobedience. Point one, we looked at what matters most, inside or outside of a person. Our point two is, can one be obedient and disobedient to the same degree? I have some experience at both obedience and disobedience, probably more experience over my life with disobedience, but I wondered, you know, can a person do that to the same degree equally? A on your outline. This leper was humble, respectful, faith-filled, obedient. So I give you four blanks. Humble, respectful, faith-filled, obedient. That's what the leper was like. He was humble, on his knees, respectful. Lord, he was filled with faith. I know you can do this. Obedient. When I read our introduction of this leper, I look at his attitude, and I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that's humble, respectful, faith-filled, and obedient. That's the guy I want to be. And this leper was that guy. Make note, I think this may be the most important thought you will hear from me share today. So this next thought, think about it. One of the most difficult things Jesus tried to express to the Jews of that day was they have a desperate need. Jesus' message to the Jews was that they needed to repent and turn from sin. Feel that this fell on hard hearts and deaf ears and just bounced off. Jesus' message to the church today that we need to repent and turn from sin often falls on hard hearts and deaf ears. Today, the effort to communicate people's desperate need of Jesus' salvation, his resurrection life, and the dependence on the Holy Spirit often seems to get the same response as it did in those days with the religious people. The Jews thought they were God's chosen people. They had no need of repentance. They had no need of being desperately seeking God. And when Jesus came and tried to express that to him, that unless you are desperate in your need, willing to receive me, I can't save you. Many church-going people today are like the Jews. We're God's chosen. We do not have a desperate need for Jesus' good news. That's the way many people are. Many today, like many then, believe that because they attend church or in that synagogue regularly and are doing the best they can, that's good enough. That was not true then. That is not true today. The truth is, the fact is, without desperate, urgent need, one's heart, they're missing out. Think that through for a minute. The truth is, the fact is that without a desperate, urgent need in one's heart, they're missing out. Think about it. You know, a proud person would focus on others and the way they looked at them. A broken person would focus on the Lord and how the Lord looked at him. So there's a quote, Jesus sent the leper away at once. Be on your outline. Jesus gave the man a strong warning. B, Jesus gave the man a strong warning. And your two blanks are strong warning. How do you read strong warning? How do you imagine this took place? So if Jesus heals this guy, he's all excited about being cleansed, and then Jesus gives him a strong, stern warning. How do you picture that? Jesus said, don't tell this to anyone. Go show yourself to the priest. Offer sacrifices that Moses commanded. It will be a witness to the priest and to the people that you are clean. See on the outline, the man went right away. He spread the good news to everyone. Think about it. The man went right away, are your first two blanks. He spread the good news to everyone. So spread everyone are your next two blanks. Right away, he went and spread the good news to everybody. He did not go to the priest as he was instructed. He did not make the thank offering and harmony with the law. So what are your thoughts on this activity? He gets healed. He doesn't go do the right thing. Instead, he's so excited, he is running around telling everybody what Jesus did for him. What do you think about that activity? So Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. He stayed out in lonely places, but people still came to him from everywhere. Now then, if you listen to last week's message, we spent a long time with Jesus saying, gentlemen, let's go to other places. Related it to Matthew's. You're my disciples. Go make disciples. And the point that I tried to express was, Jesus said to go, and today in our churches, we say, come to us. Well, here now, you see things turned around and people are coming to him because of the disobedience of this leper. Jesus told the healed leper, say nothing to anyone. Why do you think Jesus did this? Why do you think Jesus said, say nothing to anyone? Obviously, the man didn't pay attention, didn't obey, didn't do what Jesus told him to do. He went and told everyone. Why do you think Jesus told him not to tell people? I have two ideas. First, Jesus was doing his best to share the good news that salvation has come. What effort do you think this publicity would have on that goal? So if Jesus is trying to get people to focus on their desperate need of salvation that has come through him, what does all this hubbub and publicity about being healed have how would that affect Jesus' goal to spread that message? In my simple way of thinking, people then and now come to Jesus for basically two reasons. The best reason to come to Jesus is a desperate need. That's the very best reason to come to Jesus. Others came then, and people still do today, because of Jesus' popularity. Do you think I have that correct? Do you think those are the two reasons? Last week, I spent time trying to make the point that Jesus never, ever wanted to be popular. Popularity and the desire for popularity is the world, flesh, and the devil. It's the exact opposite of what God wants. God wants us to be humble, peaceful, respectful. He does not want us to be in a popularity contest. And Jesus had absolutely no desire to be popular. In fact, he told his disciples, popularity is a bad thing. But that's what happens here to him when this man who is healed goes out. The publicity of Jesus' signs and wonders that this guy talked about to people did hinder Jesus' ability to minister. Did you notice that? When the guy didn't do what Jesus told him to do, but he got excited and do what he thought he would do, can you see that fact in verse 45? This man in his excitement diverted attention away from Jesus' message. We see this again in chapters 5 and chapter 7 of Mark. Now, if anyone's interested in more details on that, you can look into Matthew chapter 8. Matthew gives us a lot of details of what went on here. So here's my conclusion. Jesus did a great thing for this man. Then Jesus told the man next step in obedience. At that point, everything was about Jesus. Stop and think about that. Everything was about Jesus. This man's excitement and his disobedience changed all that to, look at me, look what happened to me. Everything shifted from Jesus-centered to man-centered attention. Can you see this change his excited disobedience brought? Rather than it being on Jesus' message, and practically speaking, Jesus Christ himself, as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, all of a sudden, it became the show of the signs and the wonders. The result of the leper's disobedience was Jesus could no longer enter a city without being mobbed by these seeking to be cured of their diseases. That's what happened because of this guy's disobedience. Jesus could no longer enter a city. He had to stay out in the country, in solitary places. Jesus' ministry of teaching and his good news in that area came to a stop. It stopped right here. The ministry stopped and the miracle searchers started. Do you notice in this section of scripture, in this scripture, it started out with a man who lived in solitude, who could not enter a city without causing a lot of chaos. That's how it started, right? The leper, out in the wilderness by himself, and if he went into town, there was a big stir. Then notice that because of someone's disobedience, it's the Savior of the world that is the outcast in solitude. You see that these two flipped their position because of this man's disobedience? The truth is that any time anyone for any reason is disobedient, it negatively affects the whole kingdom of God. I'm going to read that one to you again. The truth is that any time anyone for any reason is disobediently, it negatively affects the whole kingdom of God. This man, in his disobedience, he was so excited to tell people what Jesus did for him. His disobedience changed the trajectory of Jesus and his ability to share the good news of who he is and what he came for. Affected the whole kingdom. Please think about that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so humbled before you and thankful that you would have Mark write these things down for us so that we could practically consider this leper and his attitude. He started out so great, humble, obedient, on his knees, respectful. And he ended up as being a rascal that was disobedient and changed the trajectory of the kingdom of God and how it was received. Just because he was excited and wanted to have people, oh, look at me. Look what God did for me. Rather than keeping the focus on Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Stop and think. Anytime, anyone, for any reason, is disobedient, the whole kingdom of God. Lord, could you help us to somehow incorporate that into our head so we would look at things from your perspective rather than ours? Humbly, we seek that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me. This is my day. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I lost without you. I'm desperate for you.
How many of you are hungry for God? Are you hungry for Him?